Jeff Cohen of RootsAction.org. You can find the petition we're talking about and other work around James Risen's case on their website. Jeff Cohen, thank you very much for joining us this week on Counterspin.
Thank you.
And that's it for Counterspin for this week. Counterspin is produced by FAIR, the National Media Watch Group based in New York. If you missed part of today's show or you'd like to hear previous shows, you can find them on FAIR's website. It's FAIR.org. And that's also the place to sign yourself up for FAIR's Action Alert Network. The show is engineered by Kelly Spivey. I'm Janine Jackson. Thanks for listening to Counterspin.
The time is 6 o'clock. You're listening to KBOO Portland. Up next, Bread and Roses, talking about the Take Back the Street community bike ride and event this Sunday.
Kibu is preparing for our legendary book and record sale happening on Sunday, September 14th at the Volunteers of America building, 537 Southeast Alder Street in Portland. We're accepting donations of books, comics, LPs, CDs, DVDs, VHS, and cassette tapes, and all donations, all sales benefit your community radio station, KBOO. So bring those donations down to the station, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, during our business hours. For more information, please contact Jesse, 503-231-8032, extension 213, or online via email, volunteer@kboo.org. That's the annual book.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Portland Hawthorne Hostel's 11th annual Bike In Movie on Saturday, August 23rd from 6 to 10 p.m. The film will be True Fans, an award-winning documentary about an epic cross men traveling to the Basketball Hall of Fame and discovering the real America along the way. Musical entertainment will be provided by Train River, an eclectic collection of bluegrass and string band musicians. Again, that's the 11th annual Bike In Movie showing of True Fans on Saturday, August 23rd from 6 to 10 p.m. at the Portland Hawthorne Hostel, 3031 Southeast Hawthorne Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Welcome to Bread and Roses. I'm Delphine Crescenzo. Bread and Roses is a collective of women-identified radio activists bringing you feminist news and public affairs programming every Friday at 6 p.m. here on your community radio station, KBOO 90.7 FM. Women have had this forum on KBOO since 1978. That's 35 years. We always welcome new collective members, so if you would like to host, produce, or engineer with us, contact KBOO's volunteer manager at volunteer@kboo.org. You can also find Bread and Roses on the web, kboo.fm/breadandroses. There you can listen to past shows, share comments, or show ideas. You can also find us on Facebook. We are KBOO Bread and Roses. Tonight, we talk about Take Back the Streets, a community ride and event happening this Sunday, August 24th in North Portland as a response to gang violence. The event aims to promote community ownership through a bike ride followed by a health and anti-violence resource fair at Columbia Park, located at the corner of Lombard and Russell. Jason Washington and DeMarcus Preston are at the origin of the idea, and they partnered with the Community Cycling Center to organize the event. Tonight, we welcome the organizers of the ride, as well as some of the guest speakers who will address the crowd at the event. We are going to discuss the bike ride, explore some of the challenges that African-American youth face today, especially in the light of the Michael Brown murder in Ferguson, Missouri. And we are also going to consider alternative options that encourage grassroots advocacy and community ownership. I'd like to welcome in the studio Jason Washington, a community advocate from Northeast Portland. He's lived in the community his whole life. His community involvement began in 88 when him and a couple of friends from Jefferson High School, from which he graduated, started a group called Brothers Gaining Equality, BGE. Their mission was to reach out to the youth in their community and steer them away from the uprising of gang violence in our neighborhoods. The mission for this community bike ride, Take Back the Streets, is the same, Jason says. The main focus is to reach the youth and give them alternatives to the negativity they are seeing on a daily basis in their community. We also welcome DeMarcus Preston, community advocate as well, football and baseball coach for youth. He is also a graduate of Jefferson High School, a veteran of the Army. He's been active in gang, and he wants to steer kids away and get the kids who are currently involved in gang out of them. He wants to find new ways, new avenues to stop this trend. We are also welcomed in the studio by Sheena Laoa. She is system builder and community activator for the Community Cycling Center. She moved to Portland in August 2013 after working with middle school youth in Brooklyn, New York. A graduate from the University of Washington with a degree in medical anthropology and global health, Sheena has always had a strong passion for social justice and education. And finally, in the studio, we also have Emmanuel Price, a native of Oregon. He is the great-great-nephew of Mahalia Jackson. He is a father, human rights commissioner, Metropolitan Public Defender board member, HIV/AIDS C prevention board member, and the founder of SCAFE, a nonprofit organization dedicated to help reduce recidivism in Oregon. And you can check out his organization, that scafe.org. Welcome all of you to Bread and Roses. It's a pleasure to have you. Later in the show, we're also going to be joined by Karen Malbro, Kiyoshi Taylor Mays, Cicely Rogers, and Teresa Rainford. They will join us on the phone. I wanted to start talking. Sheena, I'd like to go to you. If you could tell us some of the details of the bike ride happening on Sunday.
Okay. Well, the bike ride is taking place this Sunday, August 24th. It's going to kick off at 11 a.m. in New Columbia Housing Development. So the meeting spot is at our bike repair hub, which is on the corner of Woolsey and Trenton. So you meet there at 11, bring your bike. You'll get a bike safety check. You'll get amped up with the crowd, and then the ride will begin at noon. Mm-hmm. The ride will take place going around the New Columbia area, and it will end in Columbia Park around 1:32. And that is when we will be in our barbecue and entertainment segment.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful, wonderful. Looking forward to this. Jason and DeMarcus, I'm going to look at you now. How did the idea for this ride and event happen?
The idea came to us due to a bunch of guys getting together on Monday mornings, which a lot of guys are barbers and coaches and been off for the summer. So some of us are unemployed right now. So we get together on Mondays and started riding in the mornings about 11 o'clock with no certain destination. Usually there was about 6 to 12 guys, kind of just depending. And after the summer started rolling around, we started hearing all these things happening on the news, shootings here, shootings there. So it was just was dialogue, and this was through Facebook amongst the guys. Man, we got to try to do something. What's going on in the neighborhood? So I just threw it out there. Well, we riding these bikes. Let's use these bikes and do a community ride. Try to end in a park, and maybe we'll address the people that show up. Mm-hmm. We were expecting probably 15 of us or so to do this. That barbecue would have been whatever we brought in the backpack with those 15 guys, and that's what we were thinking. And after we approached the Community Cycle Center it turned into something else, and here we are today.
Yeah. DeMarcus, tell us how you guys ended up at the Community Cycling Center this one day.
let me see. We were heading back to the Northeast from Oaks Park, and somebody said something about some Jack's Chicken, and Michael Baines took off and wrecked into himself and destroyed his bike, got a flat, flipped over. So at this point, we had to go and get his bike repaired to finish the ride. So we put Michael Baines on the bus, and the rest of the crew, we rode up to the cycling center on 17th. Mm-hmm. And once we got up there and seen all the stuff and what was going on, and I was like, man, you know, I came back the next day, met some people, bought a couple of things. And then after talking with Jason on Facebook, I was like, we need somebody to like get behind us, because I only got one bike. Mm-hmm. You know, Jay only got one bike. So I went up there and seen what we could do. And then they contacted me like the very next day. And then things just been blowing up since then.
Pretty big. You're expecting quite a few number of people at the ride on Sunday. We're going to keep talking about this collaboration between the two of you guys and the Community Cycling Center. But I'd love to start talking a little bit about, you know, you guys talked about organizing this as a response to gang violence. I'd love to start talking a little bit about some of the challenges that youth, and especially African-American youth, face here in Portland.
Well, I'll start.
Yeah, Jason, let's start.
The challenges that I see is starting at home, I would say. I mean, we have a lot of absent fathers, single mothers out here trying to raise these kids, and I know that they're doing what they can. But, you know, it takes a village to raise a child, and especially you want a mother and father, at least if that village is not there. And if that's missing, a lot of, you know, you got pretty good chance of something not going exactly how you want. So if we can come and reach out, and that's through biking and having fun and getting exercise, being health conscious, and deliver a message to the youth and stick with them and try to get them into some positive things, maybe start some things in their communities. Mm-hmm. That's all positive for us. So that's what I'm here for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm thinking more like we just need to have more things available after hours. Most of the violence is happening after hours, when the community center is closed, when the kids is out of school, when everything is pretty much shut down. And the kids still got like this big old burst of energy. Mm-hmm. And the gang thing is like, that's like the new sport on the street. It's not just Bloods and Crips, it's all kind of gangs out there. That's like the new thing to do, is to have your clique. Mm-hmm. Because this used to be basketball or baseball or football, but now it's the gangs. And then the sports that are here now is like costing kids $150, $300 to play, you know. Mm-hmm. But there ain't no way to get the money if you're already low income and the money's barely paying the bills. You can't go spend $150, $200, $300 for your son to play sports, you know? So now the kids is not being able to play. Some of the better kids, lower income kids, I know tons of them that's not able to play every year unless the team gets out and do something to help them come up with their money. So I'm thinking we need to, like in the north, northeast, southeast, we need to open these community centers up, man. That's what they for. When the kids get out of school, they don't, during the school hours, man, the community center is really not even serving a purpose. Open up when the kids get out of school and give them something to do.
Let's invite Karen Marlborough on the phone. Karen is the program director with Girls Inc. of the Pacific Northwest, based here in Portland. She has more than 15 years of experience supporting youth development program and is committed to the work because of her youth. The educator and youth workers in her life really helped her to see her potential and motivated her to overcome any barriers put in her way. Karen, welcome.
Thank you. Hello.
Karen, we started talking about some of the challenges that the youth face, and I know that really enjoy talking about what the youth is already doing in the city to really work out alternatives. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. I definitely spend quite a bit of time absorbing all sorts of information about the challenges our youth and families are navigating across the Portland metro area. And it is always my pleasure to elevate that there are young people across every one of the communities crisscrossing the city who are stepping out and taking up leadership roles, whether that's through youth commission assignments, whether that's through actively participating in programming after school. There are really positive stories of youth making different choices around how they're setting intentions, how they're spending time, and how they're trying to shift adult perceptions of young people. And as you called out, Del, in particular, African-American youth.
Mm-hmm. Would you share with us an example, maybe a striking one?
From my place at Girls Incorporated now, I know that we engage a small group of just under 20 girls in a leadership council every year. Mm-hmm. And these girls are coming from North Portland, Northeast Portland, Southeast as well. They're sometimes spending their evenings engaging in interviews, trying to spread the word about how these programs matter. And I heard earlier how critical it is to keep investment in programming like ours, which occurs after school and sometimes in the evening. So we've got youth leaders situated as ambassadors through our leadership council, and they're spreading the word about the positive benefit of participating in structured programming. They're situating themselves as role models for their peers, as allies for their peers, and they're taking the risk among their peer group of asking questions about the alternatives we have to engaging in ways and places that are getting more and more of our youth in trouble.
Hmm. Thank you so much, really, for I've worked also with youth for a lot of time, and I've worked also with youth who have mental health challenges. And whenever I told people that that was the field in which I worked, people were like, oh my God, this must be a horrible job. And I just, you know, love that people make this comment, because I guess they have no idea how creative and amazing kids really are, no matter the challenges that they face. So thank you so much, Karen, for really making this point. Emmanuel, I'd love to go to you and get to hear what are some of the strategies that your organization is putting forward to help. You are trying specifically to help with recidivism. If you can tell us a little bit about your organization and what
sure.
do you do?
So our organization is called SCAFE, as you mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. Second Chances Are for Everyone. Our whole mission is to reduce recidivism. Quickly, recidivism is relapsing to an old or negative behavior that landed a person or persons in a negative environment, like prison in the first place. So we offer everything from employment services, resume writing skills, mock interviewing. We give the men suits and ties and clothes, and the women professional business attire. And our whole mission, like I said, is to reduce recidivism. But one of our main goals is to make sure that we can provide employment resources and opportunities for, you know, our people. Mainly Black and brown people are affected the most, not just in Oregon, but in every city and county statewide. We have drastic numbers of mass incarceration across the states. So mm-hmm. Whatever I can do and we can do to help reduce those numbers and kind of get people back into society and help them reacclimate themselves to their surroundings, that's exactly what we do. And all the support we get comes from the community. So we have, like, for example, if I meet an individual, they have individualized goal plans. For one man, he may need a resume. For this other man, he just may need a suit and tie. For this other individual, he just may need me to shut up and listen to him. And that's what I do. So it really varies with each individual. But the whole mission is to make sure that we can find them a job. And at the end of that year, they can file a tax return. Mm-hmm. With that, they can get an apartment. They can get housing. They can access health care. They can return to our community and be successful members of our community and society and their family. So we're not reinventing the wheel. We are a reentry center. And it's out of my own experience and knowledge and research that I've got most of the information and have found this. So we've been going strong for 3 years now, and yeah, that's what we do. Employment, empowerment, education opportunities, you know, as well as, you know, some other things to just basically make the community more tight-knit, so when they release, they come back and they feel welcomed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. And because, yes, second chances, even third, fourth, fifth chances are for everyone.
I've had a few.
Yeah, we all did. Let's acknowledge that. You're listening to Bread and Roses. We're going to take a short musical break, and we're joined here in the studio by Jason Washington, DeMarcus Preston, Sheena Laua. Say it.
Ilawa.
Thank you. Emmanuel Price, and we also have Karen Malbro on the phone. There's also creepy Zoe Pilliafis in the corner. She really wanted me to say hi. The we are talking about Take Back the Streets, which is a bike ride and event happening this Sunday, the 24th, in North Portland, as a response to gang violence and violence in the community. We're going to take a short musical break, and we are going to play something that you brought, Emmanuel. Would you tell us? We're going to play track 16.
Okay, I'm not sure exactly what song title that is, but it is good music. I just released the album. It's called The Emmanuel Price Project on iTunes, CD mm-hmm. Baby, so on and so forth. It's mm-hmm. clean. It's all-purpose music. So
yes,
hope you guys like it. I hope it's the right track.
Yes, enjoy.
Hey, man, I just got off the plane, man. I'm here at PDX, man. Flying in is so beautiful, man. You didn't tell me how pretty this place was, man.
Welcome to the Pacific Northwest. I'll be there in about 10 minutes. You ready?
I feel I can do anything in the city of roses where living is sweet. Let's go downtown and find a metropolis of culture, boutiques, fashion, high design in Portland. Hey, 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 most beautiful hey, place hey, I know. Hey, hey, so clean, hey, sustainable hey, and green hey, in Portland. Hey, hey, I call this hey, place hey, my hey, home. Hey, oh, we're gonna the local coffee shops keep the neighborhood revived around the clock. Yeah, we know it takes a village to raise our children. We got gangsters, hipsters, community, and politicians in Portland.
You're listening to Bread and Roses. I'm Delphine Crescenzo. We are talking today about Take Back the Streets, a bike ride, an event that's happening this Sunday. So 11 o'clock meet at the Community Cycling Center Hub in the New Columbia Development Project. The ride would start around 11:30 noon and ride around the neighborhood, and then we'll end in the park, in Columbia Park, at the corner of Lombard and Russell. And there will be healthy barbecue, and there will be speakers. And we have the organizers of the ride here in the studio, those with whom the story, the idea originated, and a few of the speakers. We are joined also on the phone by Kiyoshi Taylor Mays. Kiyoshi is supervisor for Step Up, a program that works with at-risk youth, helping them make the difficult transition from 8th to 9th grade, as well as overcome their obstacles to achieve greatness. She is a community activist advocating for fair treatment and equal rights for diverse populations that have experienced institutionalized racism. Kiyoshi, welcome back to Bread and Roses.
Thank you, Delphine.
How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me on
your show. Thank you so much for joining us on the phone. I'd love for you to talk a little bit about your experience growing up in Portland and your activism and how it stems from your own personal experience.
Well, I would say it's funny because I didn't really hear the word diversity until I worked for my first nonprofit, like in my 20s. I just thought everybody hung out with people of different races and stuff like that. And, like, we all grew up and we all treated each other equally. And, like, we saw color. Like, I hate when people say, I don't see color. But we saw color, but we also saw each other as equals. And it wasn't until I really entered the world that I just saw how, like, raw and, like, cold it can really be. Mm-hmm. And so just, you know, through my treatment, just, you know, professionally, as well as like my run-ins with the police and just, you know, being an African-American woman and hanging out with Black people and just the things that happens, like, you know, just get-togethers, gatherings, or just simply walking down the street. That's kind of what motivated me to get active in the streets.
Mm-hmm. What is going to be your message, Kiyoshi, at the event on Sunday?
I would say that my message is to give back to your community, and most definitely equality. Everybody deserves a fair opportunity at the same resources. And that's happening right now. And a lot of our students are being discriminated against in the school system. A lot of our kids are getting kicked out and in the hallways. And if you're in the hallways, you can't learn. If you're kicked out, you can't learn. Mm. And so right now I'm just advocating for fair treatment for our boys and girls in the school system.
Mm. Karen, I was wondering also if you could share what your message is going to be Sunday when you address the crowd at the event.
Absolutely. I am a part of the group of people locally who consider themselves informal educators. So we're not school time, school day educators. And my main message is that across the city, we are striving to partner with young people, with families, with different representatives across the district, across the nonprofit community. And we want to see some change, some very immediate change in the ways young people are approached as partners, not as problem causers.
Mm. I love that, Karen.
Thank you, Kiyoshi, for saying that. I love this too, Karen. I'd love to talk, find out from you, DeMarcus and Jason. You shared that the idea of the bike ride has come from you guys biking with a few of your friends every Monday with no specific destination in mind, just for the fun of it. Talk about why you think biking in response to violence is going to be impactful.
Well, for one, biking is easy to be seen. Mm-hmm. So that's definitely a good statement to give to people. I think when people see riding by the front of their house in a pack of however many it may be.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully lots, hundreds.
So hopefully that'll be a statement. And they see the bikes, and we can make that statement as far as the health aspect of it all and getting people out, getting fit, and enjoying. So I think it's a great way to mm-hmm. put the message.
It's a good way to, like, travel and conversate. And I think going out here to North Portland and having a lot of people ride through some of these streets show how much people do care, you know, to take their time and come out there and get on a bike. And some of these people ain't been on bikes in years, mm-hmm. you know, and ain't used their bike in years. So it's going to be just one of them events. I mean, I'm just hoping that we come out in numbers and we make a big statement out here and let these kids know we do care. It is somewhere to go to get help, you know what I'm saying? And there's some people right here around you that you see every day, you know, that they can get in touch with if they need help.
Mm-hmm. And I do believe, DeMarcus, that you've been in touch with some of the gangs here in Portland, inviting them to the ride. Can you talk a little bit about why you decided to do that?
I invited invitations out to pretty much every gang that I was in contact with, I could be in contact with, to come in peace and, you know, share their stories and represent some of the people that they done lost, you know, due to gang violence. Because the average gang member, he's not really pushing for everybody to be in gangs. Gangs ain't for everybody, you know. It's a 50-50 chance, or even worse, that you're not gonna come out of a gang, bottom line. And a lot of gang members, you know, they always say like, they recruiting and all that. No, it's a choice thing. It's pretty much a choice thing. It's a bad choice, but it's a choice thing. You know, we want to give them other choices. Right now, this is one of the only choices left on the table for kids to, be, you know, have something to do. So we want to put more things on the table and give more activities and positive things, because sports is a big deterrent from joining the game. Mm-hmm. You just don't have the time. You know, sports is big. Mm-hmm.
I'd love to go to you, Sheena, and hear about how, when you heard DeMarcus's proposition and Jason's proposition to organize a ride and event, why did the Community Cycling Center jump onto? And also, if you can tell us a little bit about the mission of the Community Cycling Center and what you guys do in the community.
Okay. I'll start off with the mission of the Community Cycling Center, and that is providing to the community access to bicycles, bike safety, as well as connecting community members with one another, mm-hmm. and building connection within the community. So when DeMarcus and Jason approached us asking for a couple bikes for this ride they wanted to take on, Zoe, my director, and I looked at each other and we instantly knew this was more than just providing bikes. We needed to have them in. They're fun guys. I don't know if everybody gauged that, but they're pretty funny. Definitely want to work with them. But it's right up our alley in what we do, which is we wanted to be able to find community members who aren't normally, they don't normally have access to bikes or knowledge about bikes or bike safety, mm-hmm. and provide them with that. That's why we have the bike fleet that we're loaning out to community members to mm-hmm. use who don't have bikes, so they can still participate. And we're connecting community members in a really positive and impactful way. So we're staying local. It's in the community. Members are getting a chance to greet each other, help each other out. If you are not a rider, you can still show up at the park mm-hmm. and meet one another. So that's why we wanted to mm-hmm. do this and make it large.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think that it's a great moment to start talking about community ownership, right? I think that that's one of the things that made you guys' suggestion great, is the fact that, you know, you are from the community and you are saying, you know, I think this can work, right? I'd love to say thank you to Karen Malbro for joining us on the phone. We're going to hold on to Kiyoshi for a minute, but we're also going to invite a couple other people on the phone. So next we'll have Cicely Rogers joining us. Jason, would you talk about why is it important that when you are a, you know, community member, you live in your neighborhood and you see things that are happening that don't feel right to you, right, that you intervene? And maybe you can tie this in with BGE, which is the organization you started when you were in high school and you saw things that just didn't feel right to you.
All right. Well, yeah, that was an organization that I was definitely a part of. The president of the group was Waleed Sadruddin. It started actually at Benson High School, where I went for 2 years. Mm-hmm. I did graduate from Jefferson in 89. But the reason for that was similar to this same reason we're here. There was a lot of bad things in the neighborhood at that time, even worse than now. The gang violence was at an all-time high. We just had to do something. We were forced to do something. We just can't sit around and watch people that you know you grow up with, watch people that you know you grow up with, and it's senseless. I mean, and so and it's if I can get out there and help, so and that's just, it's bred in me. My mother and my father taught me that if somebody's down, you pick them up. So we start the group to get out there and help, and now I'm here doing the same thing. It's pretty much no different for me. This is BG all over again, and I'm loving it.
Awesome. Let's go to Cicely Rogers. Cicely Rogers is joining us on the phone. She is a teacher for Portland Public School. She's an alumna of the Portland Teachers Program. She's passionate about math education, language, and power in struggling for justice. Cicely, welcome to Bread and Roses. It's great to have you.
Oh, hello, you guys. I'm so glad to hear all your voices and so bummed that I couldn't make it in, but school starts very soon. Summer is over, and so I had some school stuff to do. But I was able to tune into the first part of what everybody was saying. I just heard so much powerful stuff, so thank you for having me on the show, Delphine.
Yes, thank you. I was wondering if you can talk a little bit about your passion for youth and the work that you do with kids on a daily basis.
Absolutely. I teach in Portland Public Schools. I'm a math teacher. I teach middle schoolers, which, you know, people are always like, ooh. But I love middle schoolers.
And math, ooh.
But they're really fun. I have a, you know, I'm not from Portland. I've been here 10 years. I'm from the South. I'm from Virginia Beach, Virginia, heavily military, it's heavily military. I went to school with Klansmen's kids. I was like a black first. I was the first black kid and there's been in people's houses. You know what I mean? Wow. Things like that. I'm 34, about to be 35. And I came up to Portland. I lived in New Orleans. I came up to Portland after Hurricane Katrina because I was like going to go to school and ride a bike and be vegetarian. And Portland was so progressive. And I was so tired of like the intense amount of racism and specifically, and let me be clear, anti-black racism, not just like against people of color, specifically anti-black racism. And I'd seen so much of it. It was so harmful. And I'd seen it growing up, even though I grew up, you know, fairly affluent, like pretty solidly middle class. I went to New Orleans. I saw what happened with how Hurricane Katrina, everything about that went down. That was, you know, tied up with anti-blackness. And I come out here and I think, phew, I'm going to just leave all those racism problems behind.
Because I was foolish. Welcome to Portland, Oregon.
And so I get here, and I'm walking down the street, and I nod at this dude who I, you know, later realize is like, you know, not a dude I need to be nodding to. And I realize like, oh, there's no black people in Oregon. And then I like read some books, and I realize, oh, there's no black people in Oregon because Oregon hated black people. An ex-boyfriend of mine who's white and from Oregon and wonderful said, Oregon hated black people so much, we didn't even want them as slaves, which is like a terrible but also hilarious joke because of like the immensity of like anti-blackness that runs through why Portland and Oregon in general is so white. Like, it can't be separated from that. And so, you know, I get here and I realize like, oh God, it's scary here. And I realize I'm scared here. And I went to school with Klansmen's kids. I went to school with people who made jokes about wearing Klan hoods to school, but it wasn't really a joke. And I went to school at a place where there were Confederate, where there was a line of cars, of trucks, Ford, where there were Confederate flags on one side and nooses on the other. And I have never been so concerned for my physical well-being as I do as a black woman in Portland, Oregon.
You know, it's amazing, so, though. What I think is amazing is if we sit in the South, they'll tell you where they stand.
Yeah.
It's obvious.
You know, and so that feels less dangerous to me. But all of that is to say where I come from is that. And I'm in schools because I love middle schoolers and I love math. And school is so important. Like, it is, you know, everybody knows education. Like, the surest bet to get out of a bad situation if you're black is education. Everybody's mom and daddy be telling them that for forever and always have and always will. That's the thing. And people care about their children and they want their children to do good in schools, but schools are composed of the same, you know, white supremacist, patriarchal, like, classes. It's, you know, it's one face of a larger institution. And so we see the same terrible outcomes for black youth being replicated. And we see them being replicated regardless of class. And we see them being replicated regardless of what their home life looks like. And we see it being replicated regardless of how they're scoring on tests. And that's a piece for me that's really important. Like, it's not an accident that black students are doing well. And it's also not because black students are inferior. So if it's clearly not an accident, and it's not because Black students are inferior, you know, we have to look at the system, you know. Mm-hmm. And cultural competency is key. Like, letting students bring their lives into the classroom is key. And for me, because I teach math and I'm a math nerd, I'm obsessed with it. I'm always talking about it. Everybody hates it, how much I talk about it. For me, it also is important that students find themselves as mathematics, as mathematicians, and they find the math in the lives that they lead. Now, sometimes this gets talked about as like math and social justice, and I love social justice. So I love math and social justice. So that's one way that it can look. But another way that it can look is, you know, what's going on in terms of physical science and math when you throw a football a certain length.
Mm-hmm.
What are the factors that make that football go? What are the factors that are going to make that football go the way, you know, all of these things, like, that's another piece of the math. And so I just think, for me, I have a passion for, like, bringing a real just, like, belief and knowledge that education is a really important way out for students. And what Kiyoshi said earlier, I think it was you, Kiyoshi, I hope I'm right about that. What Kiyoshi said earlier about the if kids aren't in class, kids can't learn. That's true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you're getting sent out because you picked the teacher off, which was me, then you don't get a chance to learn. Mm-hmm. But every kid who's talking in class ain't getting sent out of class.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Everybody knows that too. Some kids, no matter what they do, get sent out of class.
Yeah.
Yep.
And some kids, no matter what they do, never get sent out of class.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And that's an equity issue. That is about race.
Mm-hmm.
And it is about equity. You know, Portland Public Schools, I think two, I should know this better. Sorry, guys. 2-3 years ago published a pretty open study about what their discipline rates look like for students, broken down by race.
Mm-hmm.
It was nobody on this call would be shocked to hear what it looks like, but for everybody else, what it looked like was that Black students and Latino students, but for right now, while we know that that is also an issue, I'm talking about Black students, are being disciplined at rates far disproportionate to the rates that they exist in the school.
Mm-hmm.
They're receiving far harsher, we'll call them sentences, for their infractions, partly because their infractions that are the same are seen as different.
Absolutely.
So two kids are mouthing off.
Mm-hmm.
One kid will get it called back talk, perhaps, mm-hmm. which is, we could, you know, and that's, I'm not quite sure that's the language, but we'll get it called back talk, and then there are these procedures that one must follow when it's categorized in this way. Another kid, it'll be called, you know, insubordination or something else. And mm-hmm. then it gets classified differently. And that's also about race and equity. So I know I've talked a lot. I mean, you guys just had so much
Thank you.
Stuff to say. But.
Yeah, I mean, I just wanted to tie this, you know, with Emmanuel Price is here, and his organization is CAFE, Second Chances Are for Everyone. And I was saying, you know, earlier that second, but also third, fourth, fifth chances, you know. I think that this is very well known to me, at least, mm-hmm. that a white student can do something and gets how many free chances.
Absolutely.
And then it doesn't always happen the other way around. Thank you, Cicely. I would like Kiyoshi to give you an opportunity to maybe say last words, and we'll say goodbye to you, because I really would like to get Teresa Rainford also on the phone. Kiyoshi, what are some of the things that you wanted to react to?
I would just like to say, love our kids.
Yes.
Love our kids. You know, what are gangs? Gangs are families. Gangs are families with people who you think that will love you. So we as a community, if you're tired of having it happen, stop talking about it and start doing something about it. And that's what I do. You know, that's the people that I work with. That's what we do. I just came back from a camp that's actually amazing. And one of the things that we talk about is switching your station from AM to FM. AM stands for Against Me Thoughts. FM means For Me.
Mm-hmm.
When they get caught up in that negative, I can't, I'll never get out of here, I can't do this, you know, it's too hard, we teach them how to flip the station. Mm-hmm. And so I advise that our community switch the station and stop waiting for a handout. and get it together themselves. Let's work together to make this world a better place, and I think it can be done.
I second that thought, Kiyoshi. Thank you so much for joining us. I think that this is exactly what Take Back the Streets, Bike Ride, an event is doing. It's the community, you know, stepping up and switching the channel. This is the positive channel here. You're listening to Bread and Roses. We're going to take a short musical break, and we'll be back. And when we are back, we are going to be joined by Teresa Rainfour on the phone. And we still have here in the studio Sheena from the Community Cycling Center, Emmanuel from SCAFE, and Jason and DeMarcus, who are at the genesis of the idea of Take Back the Streets. I would like to listen to Lauryn Hill. This is a song that she released yesterday as a tribute to Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri. May he rest in peace. This is Black Rage.
Black Rage is founded on 2/3 a person. Rapings and beatings and suffering that worsens. Black human packages tied up in strings. Black rage can come from all these kinds of things. Black rage is founded on blatant denial, squeezed economics, subsistence survival, deafening silence and social control. Black rage is founded on wounds in the soul. When the dogs bite, when the bees sting, when I'm feeling sad, I simply remember all these kinds of things, and then I don't fear so bad. Black rage is founded, fed us self-hatred, lies and abuse while we waited and waited. Spiritual treason, this grid and its cages. Black rage is founded on these kinds of things. Black rage is founded.
This is Lauryn Hill, Black Rage. This is a recording that she released yesterday as a reaction to the Michael Brown's murder in Ferguson, Missouri. You're listening to Bread and Roses. I'm Delphine Crescenzo, and we are talking this evening about Take Back the Streets, which is an event happening this Sunday. Make sure to bring your bikes, 11 a.m. The ride is going to start at the hub from the Community Cycling Center in the New Columbia development in North Portland, and then the ride is going to end at the Columbia Park, that's at the corner of Lombard and Russet. I apologize, I've been saying Russell, but it's Russet. So join the event or both the ride. There will be guest speakers. We have a few with us tonight. Actually, we are joined on the phone by Teresa Rainfour, political activist, community organizer, CEC for the Oregon Assembly of Black Affairs. She also serves as a development manager, a new CIO for the Words Arts Foundation. She builds organized processes for community engagement that leads to support of legislation and system reform. Empowering communities through direct communication and education is the key of taking the chains of intergenerational poverty, which leads to crime and community violence, Teresa says. Teresa, welcome to Bread and Roses. Thank you so much for joining us.
It's really amazing listening to you guys.
Thank you so much. I really wanted to get you on the phone a little bit earlier. Please talk about your activism and as it relates to the murder of your nephew in 2010.
Well, yes, when I came home to visit Portland after moving to Texas for about 15 years, my brother Armando's son was killed in downtown Portland at the Barracuda nightclub. And it was a trip the way it happened, because coming home to visit, I was charged with going to Multnomah County and working with some innovative partners to bring peace to the community. Mm-hmm. And at that time, I was thinking to myself, like, you know, these are our kids, so what do you mean, you know, peace to the community? All I need to do is go talk to their parents, and we can take care of this ourselves, but I'll go and see what's happening, you know. And so I went to Multnomah County, and there was a meeting going on, which was hosted by the Black Women for Peace. And I guess, you know, you sign your name on the line and you become one of them. So that's what I did. And I joined in the discussion, and listening to what they were trying to do as far as techniques and ideas to offset the crime in the community and to, you know, stop the violence, I thought that voices from within the community would be a lot more effective. So since I was from the community, I was able to give them a perspective that they hadn't had a dialogue with, you know. My views about what they were talking about were drastically different than where their resolutions were leading. And so with that said, you know, I stayed around a little while longer and I discussed resolutions with them.
Are you there, Teresa? Okay, yes. Yeah. I think we lost somebody else, maybe.
Oh, okay. Well, I started discussing resolutions with them, and within the time I was working with them as a visitor, my nephew got killed, and I just didn't go home. And the work just continued. I figured that a lot of what they needed to do was within the social system, and it had to do with changing the language as far as the distribution of services through corporate entities and government agencies. And we needed to bring that power back to the community, like with grassroots organizations like Take Back Our Streets. Mm-hmm. The things that they're doing is like the dream, you know. Give the resources to community members or make them accessible so that they can go out there, gather, and define resolutions for their own problems.
Mm-hmm. And the anniversary of your nephew's son is coming up, and I know that there is something very particular as the family that you would like for supporters to do.
Oh, absolutely. Well, my brother, he hadn't been active in the movement that I've been pushing as far as for gun legislation and, you know, some of the things that I've been trying to put together through education in our community. But he decided that enough time has passed to where he's ready to be active. And he said he thinks that together as a community, that there's a lot that we can do. And I know that DeMarcus and Jason probably are familiar with my brother Armando and a lot of people that are a part of this whole organization. And they know that with the loss of his son, that him being a part of this movement can make a lot of tremendous opportunities happen as far as changing some of the futures of some of the kids that are out there on the street. So him identifying the value in that as well, and knowing that my nephew's anniversary death date is coming up on September 26th, he's wanting to gather together with our community and just basically play kickball, mushball, barbecue, you know, have our kids go out there and perform for us, and just come together as a community and identify with one another, because we get together at funerals and afterwards, but we're not spending time together as a community to where our children can see us interact and realize there's not really a threat in the relationships we have here amongst each other.
Mm-hmm. Teresa, what is going to be your message on Sunday at the event?
Anything that we want, we're going to have to change the language in the way that the Constitution is written here in the state of Oregon. And one of your other callers already basically identified that. And so I'm going to be pushing voters registration and making sure that people understand that one of the things on the ballot this November is the Castle Doctrine ordinance that basically is a stand your ground law, but it has not applied to any of the people that I know that are incarcerated for shooting or any kind of self-defense here in the state of Oregon. So since it's not properly applied to all citizens and it's used mostly to accommodate homicides against blacks by people of different races or, you know, businesses. Absolutely. Or whatever, police officers, I just want to make sure everybody's aware of it so we can vote right and get it off of our Constitution.
Well,
and that's the Catholic Doctrine gun law.
Thank you a million for that. I was not aware that this was coming our way. Cicely, you are on the phone as well. I was wondering if you could share also briefly what is going to be your message on Sunday at the Take Back the Streets event.
I'm probably going to be focusing on the relationship between disciplinary action in public school that socialized Black youth and the incarceration rate for Black people.
Thank you. Absolutely. Looking forward. Emmanuel, I'll go to you next. What is going to be your message on Sunday as you share with people your resource and what your organization is providing?
My message will be along with Cicely, reducing those barriers in school. And Cicely, I need to get with you after this because I'm going to be working in the schools this year doing restorative justice with our Black and brown kids. But my message is reducing recidivism, as well as there's something called the Fair Chance for All hearing, and that is reducing barriers and banning the box on all applications, whether it's a housing application, a job application, homeless, poverty, so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. So we've already had that removed from the city applications, and next we're doing a state. We're trying to get it on the going into the next legislative session to get a state to get it recognized statewide. So I'll be talking just a little bit about that recidivism and possibly partnering with Cicely to talk about those pushouts and expulsions and suspensions.
Oh, I'm restorative justice.
Yes.
I can do it.
I am. I'm so happy connections are happening. How about you, Jason and DeMarcus? What do you hope is happening on Sunday?
Well, I just hope we come out in force and everybody doesn't sit up and just talk about it on Facebook and get up and get out there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So we can get moving. You know what I'm saying? Because we can't do it by ourselves. You know what I'm saying? But we can outnumber them and show them force out there and show these kids that they got a place to go and somebody can call on. My number's out there, so they can call me anytime.
Mm-hmm. Can I say one thing really quick?
Yes, absolutely, Emmanuel.
I remember BGE. When I was little, BGE was the thing to do. It was leadership. It was positive Black men. It was SGE, positive Black women. I couldn't wait to grow up and be in BGE. And then I grew up and I went to college, you know, in Virginia, in Richmond, Virginia. But it's good to kind of, I didn't even know that was you. But that is something that it was really a pillar in our community. It was some things that I looked for to get into when I was a teenager and a young adult. And I think that's something that, you know, is going to come back. We need it. Mm-hmm. It is very important to have positive Black role models who are just inclusive and just having solidarity. So, man, my hat's off to you guys.
Jason, you heard it. It's got to come back.
I'll help you.
Waleed, I hope you listen. That was the president. He's still out here.
Yeah.
Jason, do you want to share what do you hope happens at the ride?
Well, I'm hoping that we get a lot of kids out there. Mm-hmm. That's really what would be the biggest, you know, happiness for me, is to get a lot of kids out there to do just what he said, to see us unified. I mean, if nothing else, I mean, if you see a bunch of adults together getting along and trying to make praises for the kids, hey, they can't do nothing but good out of that. I mean, you can't have too much bad out of that. So mm-hmm. We get out here and show a positive force of people and get everybody up off the couch to come out with us and let's have some fun.
Can I also add, I think in the light of what's happening in Ferguson, Missouri with the murder of Michael Brown, Black leaders are calling for African Americans from all over the nation to come and be in Ferguson, and they are asking white people, please, you know, stay home and help in different ways. And one of the reasons why they're doing this is because they want to change the portrayal of Blackness. They want to see African Americans are not just about the negative stereotypes. Here's the community, the adults who are getting along, who are really doing things. So I'm going to ask you, listener, white Portlanders, please really pay attention to this, okay? And make sure whenever you talk to your friends that you mention this, right? Let's stop and these stereotypes. Absolutely.
Can I just shout something out real quick? There is, as part of that call for support and solidarity from Ferguson, the Black Lives Matter ride to Ferguson from Oregon/Washington. The date that I'm seeing on my invitation are August 28th through September 1st. There's a Facebook page, y'all. So yes. Check that out. I don't know another place that it is, but it's Black Lives Matter,
yes.
Ride to Ferguson from Oregon/Washington.
Absolutely. I want to thank you all for being with us this evening and really organizing this ride, this event, talking about ways that all together we can own this community, because we do own it and we can make it the community that we want. Thank you, Jason and DeMarcus, for the idea and for bringing it forward. Thank you for your leadership. Very much appreciated.
Thank you.
Sheena, thanks for being with us and representing the Community Cycling Center. Emmanuel, thank you as well for the work that you do, as well as Karen, Kiyoshi, Teresa, and Cecily, who joined us on the phone. Bread and Roses is the collective of women identified radio activists, and we're here every Friday. I'm going to leave you with a tribute to Michael Brown by J. Cole. This is Be Free. Have a wonderful week, everyone.
Thank you.
Who's Coming to Radio are back with our annual celebration of teacher Michael Jackson. On Thursday, August 28th, from 8 p.m. to midnight, we will be exploring previously unreleased works, guest spots, words of wisdom from the teacher, as well as a conversation with Talib York of the tribute band Who's Bad. Stay tuned on August 28th from 8 to midnight, where we honor Michael Jackson on Guess Who's Coming to Radio on KBOO, your community radio. Hey!